Well, good morning, everyone. Whoop, you might need to turn me down a little. We're going to begin our new series. It's about 4 weeks long. We're calling it Reboot, and you'll learn why we're going to reboot our lives over the next 4 weeks as we look at different aspects of our lives and think about what does it mean to get a fresh start on things. And I wanted to begin today, as we think about rebooting our hearts, I want to begin today with a story that Max Lucado wrote a number of years ago. And so I just invite you to listen to the story. Max is a great storyteller. And this is a story, actually, from his own life. So before I begin, put yourself in a church service. You're a young child sitting through the entire service. That's the setting. Max begins the story this way. Peculiar, this childhood memory of mine. There I sit. 6 years of me, flat-topped and freckled. My father's hand in my lap, it's there to keep me from squirming. A robust preacher is behind the pulpit. One of God's kindest, but most monotonous servants. Bored, I turn my attention to my father's hand. If you don't know, my dad was a mechanic. One look at his hands would tell you as much. Thick, strong, scrubbed clean, but still bearing the traces of last week's grease. I'm intrigued as I run my fingers over the calluses. They rise on the palms like ridges of hills. Calluses. Layer upon layer of nerveless, dead skin. The hand's defense against hours of squeezing wrenches and twisting screwdrivers. On the back of the pew in front of me is a collection of attendance cards. And on the top of each card is a red ribbon for visitors to wear. The ribbon is attached to the card by a straight pin. I have an idea. I wonder how thick those calluses are. I take the pin, and with the skill of a surgeon, I begin the insertion. I told you it was peculiar. I look up at my dad. He doesn't move. I go deeper. No response. Another eighth of an inch. No flinch. While the rest of the church is intent on the words of the preacher, I'm fascinated by the depth of this callus. And I decide to give it one more shove. Oomph! He grunts as he yanks his hand away from me, closing his fist, only pushing the pin further in. He glares at me. Mom turns. My brother giggles. And something tells me that that same hand will be used later to make a different point. Anyone bored? Anyone think we should get those visitor cards with, you know, lapel pins and pins right now?
No.
I'm not really concerned about calluses of the hand, and the article that Max wrote isn't really about hand calluses. It's about a calloused heart. Calluses are thick, dry, hardened layers of dead skin that result from repeated friction. Shake the hand of a mechanic? shake the hand of particular musicians, guitarists, violinists, and you may feel the calluses of someone who is constantly rubbing their hand against something hard. Calluses may protect our hands if we work with them, but they will destroy the suppleness of a heart if we allow our hearts to become calloused. Think about that, a calloused heart. Toughened, crusty, lifeless tissue encapsulating the heart so that it can't beat as it should. Thick, dead skin wrapped around the heart or soul of a human being. This morning I hope to guide the point of God's Word into any calluses that may have built up on our hearts. And to do that, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It's one of the seven letters included in the early part of the book of Revelation. It's a letter that Jesus writes to seven different churches. We're going to look at the letter to the church in Ephesus. But before we turn there, let me just give you just a brief background. Revelation was written about 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, which means it was about 30 or so years after Paul. Now, Paul was alive. He did a lot of ministry in Ephesus, the same city that's going to get this letter. And in Paul's letter to Ephesus, we can go to the next slide, he commends them. He says, "For this reason, ever since I have heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." They were stalwart in their faith. They loved God. They loved other people. In fact, Ephesus was kind of the premier church in all of Asia Minor. 30 years later, in the book of Revelation, Jesus writes a very different letter to that same church. It's in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. There are Bibles under many seats, but they'll also be on the screens. This is what Jesus writes. He says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands." And that's a description of Jesus. He says, "I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and you have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary." Here is a church that has stood for and suffered for Jesus. They've done the right things. They have made sure that their faith was built on the rock. They maintained their orthodoxy. They even battled against those who were trying to pervert the church and the understanding of the faith. They knew what they believed, and they worked toward it, and they never compromised. They have held to the faith tenaciously. They've battled for the truth over and over again. But Jesus' word to them is not finished. He continues, "Yet I hold this against you, You have forsaken the love you had at first. Remember what Paul said about them? They've forsaken that love, that faith for God. Jesus continues, consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And if you do not repent, I will come to you and I will remove the lampstand from its place. But you have this in favor of you. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, and that was another heretical group in ancient times, which I also hate. And then he says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To those who are victorious, I will give you the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This church, this group of people, have labored and fought and stood with God. But in all their laboring, in all their fighting, in all their standing with God, their hearts have grown calloused. You have forsaken your first love. Consider how far you have fallen. You've lost your love, Jesus says. And when John uses that word love, when Jesus uses that word love, he's always thinking love for God and love for people. They are not independent. They are two sides of the same coin. He says, you've lost your love for me and for others. Their hearts have become calloused. Their hearts are toughened, crusty, lifeless, encapsulated, so they can no longer beat with the heartbeat of God. How does that happen? How do our hearts grow calloused? Remember, callous is formed by repeated friction over a long period of time. Well, in the article I quoted from Max Lucado, he says, calloused hearts grow from rubbing against the truth. He says that hours of rubbing against the truth without receiving it will cause our hearts to grow calloused. I had a professor who put it like this. He said, some people treat Christianity like a vaccine. You get just enough of the faith in order to keep you from getting the real faith. Think about that. You know, some people just put their toe in just enough to assuage their own feelings. You know, oh, I feel good about that. But they don't ever really engage. And if we keep doing that year after year, time after time, our heart can actually grow calloused. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been hanging around the periphery of faith for a long time, but you've never honestly stepped into the faith. Today's a day to reboot. Today's a day to say, Lord, I've been dabbling, but I'm going to quit that. I'm going to reboot. I'm going to start over again. I'm going to stop playing at faith and begin trusting you. I'm dumping my old thoughts and my old patterns and I'm starting fresh. Here I am. I'm yours. And if this is your reality today, then I encourage you later in the service to speak to one of the prayer team folks, to speak to me, and just say, hey, I really want to reboot my life, my faith. Would you pray for me? But the truth is, I don't think that's what happened in Ephesus, and I really don't think that's where most of us are. So I thought about it. Heart calluses grow from too many battles. Jesus commends the people of this church for deeds, for hard work, for keeping at it with Jesus, for persisting. He commends them for being orthodox, for fighting the battles of faith, for expelling those who don't believe right truths and holding on to the rightness of faith. But you know, sometimes when we do those things, we harden. Talk to a soldier who's come back from war. Just listen to them. Hear how their lives have hardened because of the things they've seen, the battles they've endured, the armor they have had to wear. Jesus says, "You have forsaken your first love." And forsaken suggests that they abandoned that love. Work can make us hard. Battles certainly can make us hard. Somehow, grace disappears from our language. We're all about, you know, dividing people up. You're in, you're out, you're this, you're that. And we forget people are all over. Suspicion grows of everyone. Everyone's looked at with a jaundiced eye. There's a big difference for someone who is willfully abandoning, you know, let's say Scripture and altering Scripture and changing what Scripture means from someone who really doesn't fully understand, and so they have wrong thinking, but it's just because they haven't been, you know, helped to know the right way. There's a big difference between those kinds, but sometimes we just lump everyone together. My gut and experience tells me that this kind of callous heart generally isn't an intentional thing. It just happens. I've seen it in my own life. Clergy, professional Christians, if you will, can fall very easily into the trap that what we do, what I do for God, sermon preparation, teaching elders, teaching Bible studies, teaching Sunday, all of that is the stuff I do, and it supplants my just being a child of God. Just being with God. Every summer I teach pastors. And in every class I look out, I see men and women who fall into that same trap. When was the last time, I'll ask, you just sat and read your Bible or prayed? When was the last time you didn't allow your sermon preparation to be your time with God, I'll ask? And some of them can't remember the last time they just sat with God. I've been that road. I know how it can harden the heart. And I'm thankful that God brought people into my life to say, "Hey, take a step back, reboot." Easy for professional Christians to let the job become their relationship with God, but it's not just our issue. If you've been in the battles for orthodoxy, if you are working so hard for God, and that's good, but sometimes you forget just to be with him. I think that's the issue going on here. God reminded me, quite frankly, of this earlier this week in my own devotions. My reading plan brought me to Psalm 134. It's only three verses. Let me read it. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who is your maker in heaven and earth. That's the whole psalm. And I've begun a little journal, and so I journaled. And this is what I journaled that morning. This simple psalm reminds me that some days it is best just to praise the Lord. No litany of needs. No list of intercessions. Just praise, adoration, and love for God. Sometimes what the heart and soul need is to sit in the Lord's lap and bask in His glory. Words are optional. And when I do speak, it's of God's wonder, God's grace, God's mercy, God's loving kindness. I continued, sometimes what a young child needs is to crawl up into mommy or daddy's lap and simply be present with them. To feel safe. To feel the rhythm of mom or dad's heartbeat and to be in their embrace. And that's what this psalm invites me to do. I think that's what the Ephesians missed. So many battles, so many good things to do, that they forgot simply to crawl up into God's lap and let themselves be a child with God. And some of us here have been laboring for decades. And the laboring is awesome. It's the good deeds that Jesus commends. As long as we don't forsake those times where we just climb into the lap of God and sit with Him and let Him hold us and love us and make sure that our heart doesn't grow calloused. If that's you, if you've been laboring, if you've been working, if you've been fighting, if you've been straining, then today's an opportunity to reboot the heart. There's a third possibility. Heart calluses grow from neglecting the practices of love. The word for forsake in the original can mean kind of a willful turning from it, but it can also simply mean neglect. You have neglected those first things of love. You know, it's sad but true. In our culture, neglect happens. It can happen, for instance, when we send our kids to college. You know, we give them a strong, firm foundation in the church, and then we send them off to college. And all of a sudden, they have a billion opportunities they never had. They don't have mom and dad looking over them saying, hey, are you? And they have this incredible freedom. And they don't mean to grow a calloused heart. But the enticements of all this new adventure, they just drift away. And their heart grows calloused from neglect. It can happen with the demands of life. Think of the college student who's made it. You know, they've kind of came through college with faith intact. Now they enter the work world, and all of a sudden, every day, you have to get up early in the morning, and you've got to travel to work, and you probably work long hours. You know, that's very different than college, where you can set your schedule to have afternoon classes, and, you know, then you go to the Ratskeller with your buddies, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And as they get into the workaday world, and they feel the grind of work, and they feel the pressures of work, without meaning to, you can begin to neglect those things that kept your heart supple and connected with God. It can happen to the person who gets the new job. Startup in particular is a grind. You know, if you're the kind of people like most of us in this room are, and we want to do well, you know, we give everything to it. And sometimes, without thinking about it, we forget and we neglect some of those things that keep the heart subtle, that keep faith alive. It can happen when a child is born. And all of a sudden, this you know, woman who had free time has none. And not only that, now she no longer gets any sleep. You know, and so within 3 or 4 weeks, they're sleep deprived. And, you know, I mean, there's just so many ways in our world that can happen. And we're just enticed to neglect. In our area, the Northeast, it can happen because of summer. Summer comes, and all of a sudden the weather is really nice, and we can take out all the toys, and we can enjoy life, and so the beach, and the boat, and the golf course, and the this, and the that, and all of a sudden we don't realize it, but over the course of the summer, we've just begun to neglect some of those things that keep us connected with God. Jesus' letter to the Ephesians is a reminder that we can step back, that we can reboot. Have ears to hear, he says. Hear what I'm saying. Just come back. Reboot. Repent, Jesus says. And do the things you did at first. My language is reboot. And do the things that restore love. So reboot's the image for the next few weeks. If you own a computer, and especially a Windows computer, you know that you should reboot your computer at least once a week. Some people say you ought to do it once a day. What happens when you reboot a computer? It shuts down, and the computer does a little self-diagnostic, and it gets rid of minor errors. My language. I'm not a geek. When you reboot your computer, it wipes off all the grime from the programs you've been running and starts them all fresh and new and clean again. And reboot is a perfect analogy for this time of year. Computers need to reboot, and so do we. So as Christ followers, I'm inviting us all to reboot our lives, to allow those unhealthy habits that we have all picked up, to let go of them, and to start fresh. I invite every one of us to reboot our hearts this morning. Now, if any of these three scenarios have connected with you, I think Jesus is in particular calling you to reboot in those areas. God is inviting us to make a change, to start over, to have a clean slate. Jesus is offering counsel to people with calloused hearts, saying, hey, repent, do the things you did at first, reboot, do those things that restore love. Here's my advice. First is you got to push that reboot button. You got to turn it off. You got to click reboot, whichever one you want. And that's something we can all do this morning. With a quiet internal voice, every one of us can sit here and say to God, God, I am choosing you. I am choosing to reboot, to restart, to just, you know, kind of take a mulligan. Help me. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. And every one of us can do that quietly now, or particularly during the offering time. Just say to God, I choose to reboot. Please help me. And the second thing I say to you is set some reasonable goals. If for you the issue is love for others, you know, that's where you can feel your own heart has grown more calloused. Extend yourself. Look for one or two ways to turn love into real action. We can help you. We've got some service opportunities coming up. You can come with us to World Vision in 2 weekends. We go down to the South Bronx. We restock a storehouse. But we do so because we know that that building is servicing people who are really poor and they need help. And our offering of a couple hours on a Saturday is a way of saying we care for people who have needs, you know, that we can help. Next week we're going to be announcing, and I forget the official name, I call it Coats for a Cause. It's by Backyard Humanitarian in Stamford. And they collect coats, which they give away to people in this general area over the winter. And we're collecting all the needs, and we just have to get the final date. But maybe we go through our closets, and we say, you know, I don't need this coat anymore. I'm going to choose to give this away because someone else could need it. It gets us out of ourselves and doing something practical for someone else. Help a neighbor in need. Tutor a child who's struggling in school. Volunteer somewhere. Act lovingly. Let the love of God that has flowed into your life go out to somebody else. And if maybe for you it's the love of God, that part that's grown calloused, you know, again, a couple practical suggestions, and you may come up with your own deal. But first of all, I'd say, set aside a couple minutes. It doesn't have to be hours. Take a couple minutes every day to sit with God. Find a plan. Open God's Word. Read it. And think about it. Ponder it. Now, you can use the Reading the Bible blog that I do. You can use the Daily Bread. We have a bunch of those Daily Breads, and you are free to take those if you would like. You can pull out your smartphone, your tablet, and put the YouVersion Bible on it. And it'll have more reading plans than you care to choose from. Just find something, and it only has to be a couple minutes. I remember sitting once with a mother of a toddlers. It's like, how do I find time? I said, use the bathroom. I mean, it sounds silly, but sometimes that's the only time mama has to herself. And maybe not always there either. You know, it's okay. God's not offended by the bathroom. You know? Number two, worship. Really, make worship a priority. Say, hey, I'm gonna be there every weekend. As long as I'm in town, I'm there. And if I'm out of town, I'm going to try to go where I am. And then when you do, engage in the singing. You know, embrace the prayer times. Listen, reflect. And then, you know, we're going to give you have that brochure. It has all kinds of studies you can be involved in. We could talk about giving. We could talk about volunteering. There's a myriad of ways, but do those things that cause love for God to warm in your heart. Reboot. Tell God, I want to start over. And set reasonable goals. Please understand, the original word that we read went to one of the premier churches in the ancient world. This deal of calloused hearts is something that impacts every person. The most stalwart or the rookie. It is not only for certain groups. It's everyone has to face that reality. And Jesus invites all of us to reboot our hearts, to do those things that restore love. Let's pray. God, in these seconds of quiet, speak. Speak to each of us those words we need to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.